Using data collected over 45 years across 600,000 square kilometres of the state's northeast pastoral, the study looked at the changes in distribution and numbers of threatened small mammal species with rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus or rabbit calici virus. Rhys Pedler from Natural Resources SA Arid Lands was lead researcher.
We actually found that three threatened mammals, the dusky hopping mouse, the plains mouse and the crest-tailed mulgara, had undergone huge changes in their distribution. So some of those species have increased their extent of occurrence by between 250 and 350%. So they've made massive increases in their range.
That's certainly quite a number. Do you put that down purely to a biocontrol strategy when it comes to rabbits?
Yeah, well, the results certainly point to rabbit hemorrhagic disease being the single most important factor in changing the plight for these small mammals. So we were able to separate out time periods during the 45-year study period and to examine some of the really important things that might have also explained these changes. For instance, rainfall, as many people know, is a really important driver of the populations of these small mammals. They're these characteristic boom-bust species. They go through these times where their populations are tiny and they hang on in low numbers in little refuges in parts of the landscape. And then during high rainfall conditions, the vegetation grows and the small mammals breed up and spread out across the landscape as a response.
In terms of biocontrol strategies, obviously this is, I guess, proof for you that certainly has had a major impact. How do you use this information going forward?
Well, yeah, the results are really exciting because it demonstrates how important RHD has been as a benefit to the environment. And really, it's been, on the whole, a really cheap and wide-ranging tool. So it costs several million dollars to develop this rabbit hemorrhagic disease as a biocontrol and to release it. And that's been recouped many times over by the benefits to agriculture and, of course, these huge benefits to the environment, which are really hard to put a dollar value on. So it certainly supports the cause for developing and using rabbit biocontrol as a tool for threatened species conservation and all the other benefits that go along with it.
But despite the benefits of RHDV, there has been some recovery of rabbit populations. Andreas Glansnig is CEO of the Invasive Animals CRC and says the arms race between biocontrol and rabbit genetic resistance is a moving feast. He says staying one step ahead when it comes to releasing new virus strains is key.
These type of releases have traditionally been few and far between. Myxomatosis was released in 1950 and it was some 45 years before the next rabbit biocontrol agent, which was rabbit calici virus or RHDV, was put into the landscape in the mid-90s. And this is sort of the first variant in 20 years. And I think that's basically too long. And that's why we've seen nationally rabbit numbers gradually creeping up and having greater impacts on both agricultural productivity and the broader environment. So the Korean strain, or what we term the RHDV K5 strain, is ready to go. It's now just going through the government regulators, and once those approvals are secured, we'll be able to sort of put a new biocontrol variant into the landscape. And that sort of is the first cab off the rank, and it highlights the need to keep investing in this type of innovation so that these new biocontrol variants are ready to go every sort of 8 to 10 years, so that as rabbit numbers start to increase, we can continually sort of put new biocontrol agents to keep rabbit numbers in check, to keep agricultural productivity high, and to protect our native wildlife.